Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is written in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the second chapter, the first five verses. As for me, brothers, when I came to you, I did not come with superior speech or wisdom in order to proclaim to you the testimony of God. For I had no intention of knowing anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, in fear, and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not marked by persuasive words of human wisdom, but by a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, Corinth was a city known for wisdom. People came from all over to sit at the feet of scholars to listen to the wisdom that they showed and displayed to the people. But then enters Paul. He's not a learned scholar. He didn't have a degree. He didn't profess to be a good speaker. In fact, he said, I'm not a good speaker. And still, he succeeded in his work in Corinth. A congregation was established, and it continued to grow. He did his work not with human wisdom. Rather, his work was a demonstration of the Spirit's power. First of all, it overcomes human weaknesses. Paul's shortcomings. As for me, brothers, when I came to you, I did not come with superior speech. He complained many times in his letters the fact that he just was not a good speaker. And there was a good reason for that. In Corinth, there were a lot of good speakers, but they only spoke of the things of man. Paul came in speaking the words of God, and he didn't want the people to look at him and say, what a wonderful speaker he is, but rather what a wonderful message he had to proclaim. And so he said, I'm not a good speaker, but it doesn't deteriorate from my work or wisdom in order to proclaim to you the testimony of God. He wasn't wise in the eyes of the world either. As I said in the introduction, he didn't have a degree. He didn't go away to college, but he had a great teacher. When he was called by the Lord to be the missionary to the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit took him aside and taught him exactly what he was to say. And it wasn't the wisdom of men. It was the wisdom of God that people needed to be here, to hear. And then his humility. I came to you in weakness, in fear, and with much trembling. That reminds me of my first sermon way back in 1971, when I got into the pulpit the first time in Bellevue, Minnesota. I was shaking. Am I going to do okay? Am I going to screw up? I'm only a human being. I've never done this really before. I preached a few times in other churches, but this was my first church. But that fear wasn't a deteriorating factor. I knew that the message I would speak would be Spirit-induced, and therefore it would work. And so I stood in the pulpit. It wasn't a high one like this. And I spoke what the Holy Spirit had me say. And it worked. People left and they said, good job, Pastor. Or not bad for your first time. That made me feel kind of good too. That showed me that it wasn't me that was doing the work, it was the Holy Spirit. And that's the way Paul felt too. He said, I don't come here with human credibility or priorities. I come here to speak the word of God. And then finally, my message and my preaching were not marked by persuasive words of human wisdom. He didn't use human logic. What good has human logic done in the church today? The opposite. It takes away from the truth of God's word. When human in his wisdom tries to figure out what God has to say, they fall way short, because God's wisdom is far better than any human wisdom that could be around. Paul says, I'm not going to use human wisdom. I've heard a lot of it. When I was in Corinth, I heard these speakers. I'm not going to use their wisdom. I'm going to use the wisdom that God has given to me. And that will overcome any of the weaknesses that I may feel. Because I will be God's messenger to my people. Our shortcomings, how about lack of confidence to speak the word? I've had many people come to me and said, I'm afraid to go out because I might make a mistake. I've made a few. In the pulpit. It happens. But it doesn't deteriorate from the message that I proclaim. It make people laugh sometimes. I had a slip of the tongue once in a Republican congregation. I emphasize the word Republican. It was a funeral. And I spoke about the fact that all people's sins were paid for. And I mentioned a guy you probably don't know, Ed Gein. He was a killer in Wisconsin who would dig up graves and dismember the bodies and sell the meat. He made lamps out of them. Terrible person. His sins were paid for. But then comes the big goof that I made. I said, Osama bin Laden is also one of those, and we know who he was, except I didn't say Osama bin Laden, I said Obama bin Laden. And I didn't even know it until my chairman after the service said, do you know what you said? I said, what did I say? And I was like shaking in my boots. He said, you said Obama bin Laden. I said, oh no. But nobody complained. But we make mistakes. Pastors do, so do we. But we can be sure of one thing. The message we proclaim will be true because the Holy Spirit is there to give us that ability. And we won't fail. The Lord says, when I send you out to speak my word, it will not come back empty. It will accomplish what I want it to do. And that will happen for you too when you go out and proclaim God's word. And why? To proclaim to you the testimony of God, a testimony given to you by the Spirit. So don't be afraid. Paul wasn't. He didn't feel he was qualified. But he still went out and proclaimed the word, and the Holy Spirit blessed his efforts. A demonstration of the Spirit's power produces saving faith in Christ. For I had no intention of knowing anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul had tunnel vision. Nothing on the outside would break in. He had one purpose in mind, to preach to the people in Corinth who worshiped all those false gods, all those idols. I'm going to preach to you Christ crucified. People laughed at him. The scholars those who were respected for their wisdom poo-pooed him. They didn't want to hear him, but it didn't deter Paul. He said, I'm here to proclaim Jesus Christ and who he is. And what did he tell them? Jesus is true God who came down to the earth, took upon himself the form of a human being who lived a perfect life. And right away the scholar said, wait a minute, nobody's perfect. But Jesus was. And he had to be. He came to be perfect because we couldn't be. And yet his Father in heaven demanded that we be perfect. So Christ did it for us. That's what Paul told the people in Corinth. He said Jesus also came to die because his Father demanded a sacrifice to pay for the sins of the world. And a mere man could never have that happen. His death would happen, and that would be the end of it. But the God-man, Jesus, did offer up his life on the cross, and when he said it is finished, he meant it. The sins of all people of all time were paid for. And then as the God-man, he also did something else no other man could do. He overcame death and the devil with his resurrection. And with his resurrection, he says to us, you too will one day rise to live with me in glory. And that's a promise we can cling to. And I'm on the verge of my third funeral here in just a few weeks. But the message is the same. Jesus promises those who believe will go to heaven. And that's the very thing that Paul told to the people in Corinth. And they flocked to hear his message. The Holy Spirit blessed his work, so that your faith would not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. The people came to it just as they came to hear the scholars. Sometimes when they heard the scholars, they went away skeptical, but when they came and heard the words of Paul and the Holy Spirit entered them, they believed it to their salvation. And so more and more came. This reminds me of our work in Africa. I used to be very involved with the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society. And once in a while, if we were really fortunate, we'd have a missionary from Africa come and speak to us. And his comment was, it's amazing, these poor people. They don't have vehicles. Maybe they'll have bicycles. They'll walk 5-10 miles to come to church. And when they come, he said, when I'm getting close by, I can hear them, just like our choir here, singing, preparing themselves for worship. And then when the minister would proclaim the word, the words, amen, would be shouted over and over again, of course, in their language. And then when they would go home, they would tell others what they had heard, and they would bring them. And so what today our African church is still the fastest growing church that we have. The same was true in Corinth at the beginning. The church grew because the Holy Spirit blessed the people, brought them to faith, and kept them in the faith. You see, their faith was not based on human wisdom. It was based on God's power. God, you call me to be a child. Now stay with me. Keep me in the faith. And that takes power. I don't think any of you sitting here today can say, I've never been tempted to do something wrong. We all are. And if alone, we would succumb. But the Lord says, I'm by your side. I will give you the strength to say no. I will give you the strength to believe that I will be there. And that is faith too. Another promise that God has made. We can proclaim God's word faithfully. We can do it. Paul did. In an atmosphere where he probably was made fun of by the leaders of the city, but he continued to do it faithfully. We can do it because the Holy Spirit is there to bless our work. So proclaim God's word. Then let the Holy Spirit take over. He will bring results. He will bless your work. Amen.